about 2 seconds. Hopefully this goes off without a hitch.
There it is. There he is.
Christen it.
Yo, I need a hobo recording so I can replay that.
We need him on the soundboard.
Yeah, we need a hobo soundboard.
All right, guys. Well, we are live. Welcome, guys. I am pretty sure we are live. No technical difficulties this week, guys. But hello, this is Optimus Fields at My Living Truth, and we are back for episode 140 of Bitcoin Kindergarten. Officially number 62 of Toxic Teachers Lounge. So we will keep these rolling in every Wednesday. Before I forget, like every other week, we are at block height 725,663. And the current price per Bitcoin is 43,715. And in Moscow time, it is 2,288,000 sats per dollar. So guys, still can get them cheap sats. Weinikus, we do have a question for you. Before we start this show off, we got a question for you. And it's by Any Rug. And he goes, the key question, did Weinikus get barreled today? So, Weinikus, the people want to know.
I've never been barreled in my life. So, today, ooh. I'm still a kook. I'm still a beginner, but I'm definitely practicing being a beach bum, and I think it fits well with being a Bitcoiner. So Bitcoining and surfing goes well.
Let me know if you need help with the bum part.
Weinikus is a shooby confirmed, guys. Big if
bum
true.
Off.
All right, guys. Of course, tonight's episode is brought to you by our boys over at Simply Bitcoin. Simply the best daily Bitcoin-only content on YouTube, guys. I listened to Nico and Phil rant in my ears basically every week. They're my pirate radio, guys. So I know they're keeping me informed. I know you guys need to go over there, subscribe to them, and give them love, guys. They are doing this for the plebs out there. Go watch them every single day, or at least binge watch them like I do. But they are the Bitcoin pleb daily news source, period, guys. They're our go-to guys. They're our brothers. They're our sister channel. Go follow them. Go give them love. And go get based over there with Nico. Go hang out with Nico Jones. He's our boy. All right. Well, Weinikus, what a week it's been, man. What a week it's been.
I just want to say that you mentioned we're not having any technical difficulties, and we're not having any technical difficulties yet. So there's still like at least another hour left for us to fuck up. And yeah, man, what a week it's been. I'm actually here currently in the Bitcoin capital of the world, Bitcoin Beach. It's been real. I just paid for a few t-shirts with Lightning Network. It's been really awesome. So here from the motherland for right now. On a hammock.
Of course. You'd be LARPing if you weren't on a hammock, Weinikus. So I did notice you kind of got a little spicy tweet about being down there at Bitcoin Beach. I didn't see the aftermath, but I noticed you got a little spicy out there and people were in your notifications. Big stuff or what?
Yeah, I mean, I've been traveling around El Salvador for the last week or so, 2 weeks, and I was in more unknown parts. I mean, they're known for travelers, but overall, I was in the second biggest city, Santa Ana, and then some other like small towns. And I tweeted that there's almost zero Bitcoin presence outside of Bitcoin Beach, because in Bitcoin Beach, literally everyone takes Bitcoin and has Strike signs up with their usernames and all this stuff. All these other places, they have no idea how to use it. They don't accept it. They don't really want anything to do with it. So it was pretty rare. And I tweeted, there's almost zero Bitcoin presence in El Salvador outside of Bitcoin Beach. my replies blew up, like hundreds of replies, and this just confirms that I never want to be an influencer, just because the level of intelligence in the replies was extremely low. People attacking me, calling me a shit coiner, clearly just making an observation, and everyone having to give their input analysis, some fights between shit coiners in there. I mean, it's just a mess. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. On Twitter, you're constantly seeing Bitcoin Beach being shilled and all these people buying stuff with Lightning Network and things like that. And I was just making an observation that outside of Bitcoin Beach, it's not really like that yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, our boy Apex been telling people, don't fall for the hype. We love what they're doing down there, but guys, it is Twitter. Everyone's out here for the hype. But that was just a funny side note. I kind of enjoyed that on the side. I'm sure you didn't want to get that, so it sounds. But what I do want to talk about is definitely going to get us in the hot water, obviously, because I don't consider myself an expert in geopolitics. But I need to bring it up because when we were recording last week, bro, World War meme episode, literally they tried to meme a war. Why we're streaming the episode, bro? Like, we are we're for the culture, dude. Bitcoin kindergarten out here influencing all spheres of the globe, and few understand this, guys. The Bitcoin kindergarten pump is real. Guys, come on. You guys are the culture out there. Plebs together strong. Come on. Winekiss, I know you don't want to talk about it, but I think we have to, dude. But not really about the war, per se. My whole thing about this is the power of memes. Guys, you guys think we've been joking. You guys think we're just out here talking shit about memes, and you guys think we are just the retarded step cousins over here, and we make jokes out of everything, but that's our way of telling you guys what's happening. And if you guys are paying attention, if you're watching closely, memes are ruling the world, and they're trying to meme us into a war, guys. So I don't know what you guys are doing out there, but I hope you guys take us seriously in understanding that we break through the noise by being as unserious as possible. Like, you have to deal with all the ridiculous to understand that we know what the fuck's going on over here, and we may take the piss and take it lightly, but we're telling you what the hell's going on, and they're trying to meme you into a war. Like, you guys are getting psyop. I was personally feeling myself getting psyop last week, and I know how these mechanisms are working. Like, I understand how memetics works, and so if I'm someone out here that knows how it works and can, like, feel it in myself and understand, oh, they're pushing certain manipulation buttons out here, and I got to be aware of what's going on. And hence, I don't know if you guys followed my Twitter this week, but I just took the most ridiculous route out there. So I was saying I am for taking in Ukrainian refugees. I have a strict policy on them being extremely gorgeous, because these memes out here, guys, boys, they said we're getting girlfriends. Looks like we're getting harems out here of hot Eastern European girls. And guys, before everyone loses their shit on me, obviously I am joking. I'm talking shit. This is why you come here. Don't hit my PR manager, Winekiss, with the DMs.
Kind of joking.
Low key, sort of, maybe. But guys, I don't know what's going on. I think I personally will say, you know, fuck all of them, because personally, I don't give a fuck what's going on over there. It's not my world. I know that makes me callous or selfish or what have you, but you know, I don't have to be concerned with everything. You know, humans aren't designed to be worried about everything going on every corner of the globe. So I'm gonna focus on what I can do in my life, and, you know, encourage people to buy Bitcoin and spread the word and be the best person I can be. But guys, please, for the love of God, do not downplay the power of memes. You're getting memed to death out here, guys. We got to step up the meme division. I know they were not ready for the autistic meme division out there, but we got to come on hard, guys. We got to put it in overdrive. This is an information war, and memes are our artillery, guys. So
we got to put in overdrive. It's all propaganda, and the reality is everything they're painting, it's very similar to exactly like this COVID narrative. And you guys just keep your head up. Keep your fucking head up.
Yeah, I decided this news cycle, I'm not going to be participating in the mainstream narrative. Like, this kind of stuff happens all the time all over the world, but they just choose what to focus on, and I'm not paying attention whatsoever to this one. And yeah, I mean, I think memes are important, but without proper funding to open source memers, then, I mean, they're just going to be eating beans for the rest of their life.
Yes, please.
I think like another $500,000. You know, I like $500,000. I'd be down to do memes. You know what I'm saying? I could do memes all day, every day, guys. Hey, I'm not trying to be living in a tent eating beans, though.
I tweeted this before, but like, it would be great to have a marketplace for memes where you could like post your idea for a meme and have someone create it or something like that, where you could like procure a memer. Because I got some great ideas for memes, but I'm not gonna spend like my time figuring out how to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I fuck with that. That's a good idea.
I think just go to your favorite sponsor memer. A memer. Go to your favorite memers, hit their DMs with an idea. Be like, I will give you sats, and they will make the damn meme. I know Rescale makes memes out there. Like,
if you send a dick,
this is what I'm talking about here. You know what? Because developers,
I've put a bounty out before. I was like, dude, somebody make this into like a Hitler meme. It was like one of these Australia things, right, where the dude was just talking crazy nut, and I was like, somebody make this into a Hitler meme. Put a mustache on him, like, you know, do the whole thing, and like. Whatever, I don't know how many sats I offered, but it was somewhere around $50. No one took it, but it would be a great idea to get a marketplace going.
$50, Michael. Hello. But I know that if you fund a developer, they build whatever they want, but you can fund an open source memer, and he'll actually build what you want. So there's a big differentiator there.
Become your own propaganda wing and fund your favorite open source memers. Guys, you think corporate media is the only one with the chokehold on the narrative? You too can become a media mogul by sending your favorite open source memer sats in his DMs. Guys, we're for the culture. We're trying to get you guys paid out here, memers. We should be getting some royalties. You heard it here first.
This is alpha right now. This is what alpha sounds like.
Hey, Winekiss.
We're going to meme this into existence.
Winekiss, got a question. Let's go. Like, for you reporting the truth on El Salvador and what's going on and the fact that Bitcoin isn't like widely adopted beyond Bitcoin Beach, like, I imagine you got a lot of hate. Were you called a spook by any chance? Because apparently that's the like go-to word now.
I was called a spook maybe once. I was called a shit coiner. People were calling me pessimistic and all this stuff. I definitely did not intend to tweet that in a negative connotation. Like, I was just making an observation. So,
bro, you cannot tweet anything bad about Bitcoin whatsoever. Nothing.
Yeah, let's bring it up. Let's bring it up. We're willing to let's air it out tonight. You got some heat this week, bro.
At least I'm out here.
Yeah, I think you brought up an interesting point. I'm pretty sure I read your tweet, and I looked through some of the comments, and there were a few where I was like, yeah, there were some interesting counterpoints, a lot of dumb stuff, but it's an interesting topic, you know, because if we really want Bitcoin to be adopted globally, we need to pay attention to how it's going in El Salvador.
Yeah, and of course it's really early, and I think people are excited about it, and for the most part, everyone I speak to, even though they're not necessarily like accepting it, they know what it is, and I don't think they think negatively about it. So it's just a matter of education and time. But coming here and kind of like shilling and orange pilling people, it really does help a lot. Like, I've been orange pilling right and left, and it's nice to leave your sats in this country, I think. So if you can, make it out to El Salvador.
It sounds like you people are receptive. You know, it sounds like, from what you're saying, is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't heard anyone slander Bitcoin or even like the president. So, hey,
what's it like over there? Have you been to Costa Rica? I'm wondering if it's similar to that vibe. I don't know if you've been there, but like, what's the vibe? Yeah. Is it tropical? Is it chill?
I've been throughout all of like Central America pretty much over the last like 6-7 months, and I've, including Costa Rica. Costa Rica is way more developed and is geared for tourism already and has a lot of Westerners and Western culture embedded into it. El Salvador is more like raw, but the nature is pretty much just as beautiful, and I think the people are a lot nicer and there's like a better culture overall. So, but it's a tiny country. Like, within a couple hours you're pretty much anywhere that you need to be.
Beautiful, Winikus. Winikus is our in-house digital nomad. We all want to be like Winikus.
Just nomad.
Just nomad. Guys, hit Winikus DMs if you need to make your life easier. I am shilling Winikus services to make his life harder. So, yeah, there you go, Winikus.
If you're comfortable squeezing on a bus with a bunch of El Salvadorians, a school bus to get to where you need to go within an hour time, and you pay 50 cents to be on there, then you'll have the best time in this country. It's not for everybody. Let's, or you can stay in Max Kaiser's penthouse in Bitcoin Beach.
Shots fired. And that thing's off limits tonight. Let's go. Okay. Okay. Oh, man.
If you make memes, hit my DM.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you,
we don't care. Shall we?
Beautiful. Wow. Well, Winikus, we don't want to talk about the war. So, Michael, let's talk about your controversy for a bit. I saw you were in hot water this week. I saw that you did spaces. I caught a little bit of it, but I was busy, so I wasn't really able to listen to it. You want to, if you're willing to go on the spot, if not, so be it. Maybe recap what your tweet was, and then we can start a discussion over that, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I'm happy to do that. So the trucker situation, right? The trucker donation situation and how all of that unfolded. Like, I think it's a pivotal moment in like where we're at, especially like in Bitcoin's progression into like, you know, a world reserve currency. I always knew that there's going to be a fight coming. You know, I've been surprised up to now that it hasn't come sooner. And I think that the trucker like donation drive really put Bitcoin on the map as far as like nation states now being aware of its full potential and power. And I also think that, you know, we take it for granted just how transparent the blockchain is, and for good reason, right? Like, we understand the trade-offs, but there are some like privacy issues there if you use Bitcoin wrong. And so I think that we put a lot of people at risk and made them vulnerable to, like, now we're entering new territory, right? Like, there's actually cops coming to people's doors and knocking on the doors and like asking for the private keys. Like, this is new shit. Like, I don't think people realize like that's an escalation of what the nation states are willing to do as far as like Bitcoin is concerned. So I just think that we need to make especially noobs aware of that. Like, yeah, Bitcoin is like this tool that can liberate you, but just like an AR-15 or a gun or whatever it is, right? Like, you got to use it with precaution, and you have to understand the dangers and limitations of it, right? You don't want to shoot yourself in the head. So that's kind of what I was trying to help make people aware of. I know probably I come off a little bit more hostile, and maybe it's not as clear in my tweets because I maybe I'm being like sarcastic or whatnot, but that's really my main point. It's like, we can't just pretend like there isn't a risk involved in adopting Bitcoin and using Bitcoin if you're going to be using the blockchain, since it's an open and transparent ledger. 90% of like users are now KYC'd, right? And so it's like, and now there's real like consequences. Before, it was all good. We didn't live in adversarial times, right? Like, the nation states, they limited themselves. They were at least like, they operated within the law, but now we're moving in a time to a time of like lawlessness, where they're willing to do all types of crazy shit. And so I'm just trying to make people aware of that. That's all.
Beautiful. Okay. I definitely wrote down a couple of little points. And first of all, you know, kudos to you for, you know, taking a stand. I do notice a lot of people are afraid to take a stand and say things, even when it's unpopular. That's why some people are my favorite people on Twitter, because they take the unpopular stance, even if they may not have the best takes. They still just have the take, like my boy Dieter. Dieter has great takes. Everyone hates on him, but some of Dieter's takes, y'all know that. Dieter, you know I love you, boy. I know you're listening out there. Hopefully you're listening to this one. But Michael, let me see. Okay, so I think first off, I think the tone, not necessarily actually like your tone, but like the way that your tweets come off to me personally, and I'm sure a couple other people, it's kind of like the world is falling type energy. Hence why maybe you've gotten some short responses from Bitcoiners, because I'm not sure how long you've been in the Bitcoin space. I've seen you around out of the last year or two maybe, and so I've really noticed you more in the spaces recently, and I really like what you were saying for the most part, so hence why I followed you and was like, yo, yeah, you're cool, come on the podcast. But recently I noticed you got a lot of flack for this, and I think, I don't know who you listen to or what circles you're around, but I think
Jones, bro. I get Alex Jones pumped into me all day.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, we're Alex Jones friendly over here for sure. But see, the thing, where I was going with that is, a lot of the Bitcoin conversations and the Bitcoiners that I follow, this is like all they talk about. So, I don't know exactly, you know, what content, Bitcoin content you're devouring, but when you get into the more technical, higher level Bitcoin content, like, this is all they talk about. And I know sometimes people don't want to talk about it in public because, you know, there's some things you don't want to really put up on Twitter for various reasons, but also because you don't want to come across as you're fighting Bitcoin. And when I'm not saying you are fighting Bitcoin, because I do believe that we are getting very sensitive on Twitter, and any criticism does get attacked as FUD. And I know I'm guilty of that at times too. So I see where you're coming from, and I fully understand. And I ask myself this question all the time of, are we being naive, or am I being naive? You know, am I putting my head in the sand? Am I prepared for what I know that is sure to come down the line? And we know Bitcoin is a public blockchain, hence everything on the base layer is, you know, trackable and pseudonymous, and you know, it's there, it's open. That's the point of the blockchain. It's an open public blockchain. Everything is visible, so we know that there is no monetary fuckery going on. So I understand your concerns, and I think we try to convey that message on here as much as possible as well, in between all of our joking, the trade-offs of what people are doing on Bitcoin. And I do believe that we probably, as a collective, can do a better job of not just shilling Bitcoin like a shitcoin, number go up, you're just going to get rich, like buy a little bit and you're going to get rich type narrative, because we all know that's not necessarily ever going to happen. So I do believe we can work on not just spreading straight hopium, but it's the internet, and the internet's going to internet. So I think what we can really do is focus on ourselves and what we can do as an individual. And so I personally know, like, I can't, I'm not a coder. I can't build shit. So I'm just out here, you know, hosting this shit, hosting podcasts and spreading the word and to trade off as much as possible. And hopefully we can avoid other people making the mistakes we have. Like I say before we started this podcast, that we basically make all the mistakes so that other people don't have to, and they could listen to us tell them the mistakes that we've made and the cost that it's cost us. Like this wisdom that we spread to people has cost us a lot of sats. And so again, I know you got some heat, and we can go into the nitty gritty of what we can do for better privacy or to better orange pill people from here on out. But I do want to say, you know, like kudos to you for taking that stand and taking the heat, because it's not easy to take the heat. And I did see everyone's calling you a spook. So the fact you're up here in kindergarten with us, I don't know, dude, to me that shows that you're actually a real person out here. You believe in Bitcoin, and you know, like it is what it is. So we're all here, you know, trying to learn. Twitter's not the best platform for this. Wanika's cutting me off. This kindergarten. All right. Well, I think I ranted enough. I don't know, guys. You guys can jump in. Anyone else? Michael, I don't know if you have thoughts. Wanika's. I see some savage Bitcoiners up here. So we'll see what happens.
Should we talk about the war?
It's more interesting, Wanika's.
Yo, the war.
Picking up on privacy real quick right now.
The war is a psyop, man. That's
really what's crazy is.
These Bitcoin donations. It is the PSYOP. You know what I mean? It's the war is real. You know, I don't want to call that a PSYOP. The war is real. And I feel bad for people on both sides, especially because a lot of people are getting puppeted and they don't even realize what's really going on. But, you know, when we look at the bigger picture, it's like there's so much conflict in the world. Is the media dramatizing what's going on? You know, maybe not. I don't know. But it's like, it's an interesting thing because so much stuff just doesn't get coverage, and dude, I have to question why.
I'm driving down the highway and they got like United with Ukraine signs up the next day. The next day, like I don't know, you know, like it's now getting to a point where like the propaganda, you can't escape it. It's like literally on the highway while you're driving. And to me, I don't know, man. This is a new level of like information war, in my opinion.
I would definitely agree with you. I definitely agree with you. You got to be really careful what kind of content you consume, whether it's in your day-to-day life with your, you know, in the real world or you're online. Like, you got to be really careful what you consume. And you got to remember that you should always question things. Critical thinking is a very underappreciated skill in this day and age that a lot of us need to always remember. You know, I mean, all of us, not a lot of us, we always need to remember, all of us, that critical thinking is how you survive day to day, and not just survive, but how you thrive. You know, there's so many people in the world who want to take advantage of you for one reason or another, a lot of the time for profit. It's just kind of like a byproduct of fiat, you know, in a lot of ways, in my opinion, at least, you know. So you got to be careful. You got to keep your critical thinking skills sharp and make sure you're paying attention to what you're consuming. And
dude,
it really is
like this red pill spot, like this Bitcoin red pill area is dope, because like if it wasn't for this, you know, sometimes you need something to like, you know, judge your sanity against. And the fact that there's other people that can confirm your viewpoint is huge. So like I'm really grateful for it, because back in the day with 9/11 and just everything that's been going on, it was really hard to make sense of things because everyone around me was just like mass psychosis, like, you know, like mass formation psychosis, just going along with the narrative. And I'm like, damn, dog, am I the only one that thinks like this shit is kind of weird that we're just giving away all our rights and like we're just going along with it, and we're just, you know, like people are cheering on, you know, killing millions of innocent people across the world. Like, what the fuck is actually happening? This is so weird. But at least now, you know, there's like-minded individuals you can connect with through Twitter. I don't know for how long, but it's actually a remarkable thing going through this early on when we didn't have this kind of technology to connect us all, and now going through it. And like, at least there's an outlet to, you know, discuss these ideas, in a rational way where people will understand where you're coming from.
Wait. Before we discuss the war, I'm not ready to put COVID to bed yet. Because there was a document released, I think it was today or yesterday, that Pfizer had 9 pages worth of side effects from the vaccine, and out of 42,000 trial patients, I think over 1,000 or 1,400 of them died. And obviously nobody even knows that that was released, really, unless the people that are actually paying attention because of the war. And I sent a picture to my family's group chat with a jar full of pennies saying Weinikus was right. And I'm definitely taking victory laps around because I don't know how Bitcoiners are right all the time about everything.
I feel like if you want to phrase it this way, the realest Bitcoiners are the ones who are very good at seeing the big picture of everything that's going on.
Yeah, that's all part of the low time preference, right? Like, you don't freak out over what the media is telling you, and you analyze and wait for things to unfold.
Yeah, the other thing about that is that if you study Bitcoin and you realize just how much experts are full of shit because, you know, they've been basically, you know, talking, you know, they've just been basically putting Bitcoin down for these years. And, like, these are, like, Nobel Peace Prize winners and people that have been put up on the fiat pedestals. And you realize, holy shit, these guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You come to the conclusion real quick that you got to figure things out for yourself, because these experts, they're incentivized to just, you know, they're incentivized to hold up the status quo because that's how they're paid. That's how they, you know, that's how they receive their accolades. That's how they receive their wealth.
It's not even the experts. It's also the Bitcoin influencers. What are the famous words that you should live by, Optimus?
Everyone's a scammer, B. Come on. How many times do I have to say it to you? I say it every week. Holy shit. I'm losing my mind telling you guys. Kiwi, you got some input on this?
Everyone's trying to take your Bitcoin.
Kiwi, have you been scammed in the past?
By my own accord, though. It's my own stupidity.
Oof, the worst kind of scammer. Few will understand this. Learn life, guys.
Kiwi, what's your take on what's going on?
With what?
Anything, man. The war.
The news.
The news. Whatever you want to talk about. I'm curious. You always have good takes.
How about some Kiwi TA?
No tea leaves. I don't know. You guys are all echoing the same thing. There's a whole lot of bullshit that's being thrown in your face. And if you look at a long enough time horizon, they lie about everything. But at the end of the day, they have the monopoly on violence. So, you know, be wary of that. And be wary, everyone is a scammer.
Bars.
Ourselves included. We are scammers.
We're literally scamming you on the show right now.
I'm going to start selling t-shirts for Bitcoin. So that's going to be my scam.
Oh yeah, dude, we're heavy. We're gonna go heavy in the merch game, bro. You guys are literally gonna give us all your sats. It's that dope.
I need a hat.
And then you're gonna track it on chain analysis and charge them all tax invoices because you're a fucking stupid.
Dogs, fully dogs. No, this is gonna be peer-to-peer, Kiwi.
Out of the trunk.
Speaking of peer-to-peer, we're bootleggers, dude. Peer-to-peer is exactly how Bitcoin should be used. It should be used in, like, totally decentralized economies, not on fiat rails. That's the problem. Because people are trying to they don't understand that separation of money and state means separation of Bitcoin and fiat. Like, everyone's so obsessed with the number go up, they forgot that it's like money, you know?
Sir, thank you. Thank you.
I love that line. Like, the separation of money and state is like the separation of Bitcoin and fiat. That's like, boom.
Yeah, like mine, building communities from mining. Like, build it from mining and then food supply, and then you have liquidity, you have power, you have electricity, you have heat, you have biochar, you've got food, you've got all these things. You, with gasification, every stick lying on the ground is a Bitcoin. Like, it's totally the ability for us just to pull money from the air is actually here. Everyone now can have a money printer. Everyone can be a money printer. And then you can scale society up from there, so that all of the liquidity within your community is actually coming from within your community. You don't need to like buy Bitcoin to buy a product with your fiat dollars. You just like either earn Bitcoin, you mine Bitcoin, and you contribute to the economy in that way.
Speaking of the war, did you guys see that Bitcoin's trading $20,000 higher in Russia?
Yep.
Pretty interesting.
Didn't the ruble collapse 30% as well?
There's an arbitrage opportunity right there.
There is, but there's
not. That number go up or number cut go off. Down?
Do you know what I mean? That's why the arbitrage opportunity exists right now, is their banking system has been cut off.
But Russia's going to mining, though. Like, what happened to all those miners that left China and went to Kazakhstan? Like, where do you think they went next?
I don't know. But I we jumped around a little bit, but I really liked what you were saying. We're on the same thought train. That's absolutely the way that people need to be thinking and looking at everything. We need to really separate, you know, and get focused on like, how do you build like totally separate of this framework that everybody is like thinking and trying to operate in? Like, how do we totally separate the two and just focus on Bitcoin and becoming sustainable using Bitcoin and having a, you know, just a quality economy?
Because the ones that do that now, the rest of the world will catch up after the chaos is done playing its like media games. Because let's be real, like, I'm sure there's bombs going off in Ukraine, but how come they all still have to pay their bills and like go to work and like continue? It's like the mundane has to continue, just like it had to continue through COVID, because that's how you like centralize control. That's how you like rug pull people, is by like forcing them to like go on the hamster wheel while you like destabilize the rest of shit so that they don't even notice what's going on. Like, this is historically what they've done. I'm convinced that every war, as far back as the last like 2500 years at least, has all been a psyop. It means that the sides both are on the same side all the time, and there's always a greater agenda. Like, this goes back to the colonizing of the Americas and Africa. They're all a part of the same ski club.
All I know is that this war is weird as hell. Like, it's like a social media war, right? It's like the first time, it's like one of the first wars where, like, it's being memed. Like, and there's a whole bunch of, I don't know, man, misinformation. I hate using that word because I feel like that's like one of these, you know, establishment words to discredit like people who think critically. But there is like, It reminded me so much of what happened at the beginning of COVID with all those videos coming out of China of those people collapsing and like causing all that, you know, initial hysteria to get like the momentum going in order to like for us to accept like this communist fucking new world order here in America. And I just see the same kind of thing happening, the same momentum happening. And it's like, and it starts from like these videos that are, like, they're just obscure and they're out of context and it's hard to see what's actually going on, but they're attached to a narrative and they get pumped out through these channels, right? These blue check mark channels. And it's like all of a sudden there's this, you know, like all the normies jump in and it's like you got to react to this, like these false narratives. And this, it's hard. It's like a wave that you can't stop, and you just got to see it crash. It's one of the reasons I kind of took a break from Twitter, because I was like, damn, dog, this is all happening one more time.
Well, Michael, you said something about like having to respond to like refute people's bullshit. And personally, dude, lately, I'm not convinced I have to respond to people's bullshit. Like, let people be idiots. I try to let people I give people the benefit of the doubt, and then I just like, dude, I ain't got time for this. So I start trolling people. Maybe that's me becoming like a salty old Bitcoin Twitter guy. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel some people, you can tell when they come at you with like good intentions, and you know, you're nice to them and you're encouraging. And then other people, you're just like, dude, I'm going to troll you. I ain't got time for, or I just don't even respond. So like, I don't know. Maybe it's just like, you know, we got to focus on what's important. And, you know, like, people on Twitter aren't necessarily my enemies. Like, you know, we know the spooks are out there. Go fuck yourself, exactly. But like,
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you, we don't care, Jerry.
Nick, I saw you're coming in. Anyone got some 2 cents? Because I do have some things. I'll take this conversation somewhere.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, and I know this might sound stupid, just because I got ripped apart for it on Twitter the other day. So Bitcoin Magazine, we opened an office in Kiev, and this is recently, and like right before this war started, and I have no idea, and I haven't put any research into why, because I don't fucking care why Russia invaded Ukraine. But it really does suck to see, like, the war is actually legit. Like, I mean, my coworkers literally have sent pictures of, you know, just the places where they live in their neighborhoods just like completely in rubbles, and like it looks really bad. And like, you know, they were telling me how, you know, they woke up that one morning, I think it was Wednesday it started or something, and like they were getting airstriked and stuff. Like, the war is actually real. And I was getting heated because people were telling me I was just psyoped and the war wasn't real. And I was like, you have no fucking idea what you're talking about. No one does. Even me. Like, even with the small amount of information I have no idea what the fuck is going on. And it's really sad to see, but I don't care enough to look into it, because, like, you know, like someone was saying earlier, this war shit happens all the time, except that, you know, the media just decided to put the spotlight on it for whatever reason. Like, you know, other countries are constant. I mean, how many countries does the fucking U.S. bomb all the time and, like, no one gives a shit about? And it's just so weird to me seeing some of this weird propaganda. I mean, these fake stories of, like, random people posing as Ukrainians, and they're saying, like, oh, my God, this person, like, you know, did a triple backflip off a tank and, you know, shot a bullet through the hole of a tank and blew it up, you know, praise Ukraine or whatever. Like, they just make up these most ridiculous stories that, like, obviously didn't happen. But normies eat that shit up all day long, and they just pass it around. And there's so much misinformation on both sides. It's insane. I mean, my mom was sending me the pictures of the president, and she was like, oh, look how heroic he is. And then I'm like, Mom, these pictures are from 2015. Like, the propaganda is just so fucking weird to me. And again, I wish I would have put the slightest amount of research into why the war started. But it also seems like no one else knows why.
It's a state versus people thing. It's not necessarily like a nation state versus nation state. There's like a deeper agenda at play. Like, remember COVID in early 2020? Like, no one knew what the fuck was going on, but it was strange that they were spraying the streets down in China. It's like there's always going to be a crisis and they're going to have the solution. And this seems to be like the next play in the book. Like, it's kind of weird to me that like the trucker thing happened in Canada. They announced a state of emergency. And then Justin Trudeau disappears for a few days, and then he reacts the state of emergency, and then a war breaks out right after they pass Bitcoin as legal in Russia. What the fuck? It's like, you can't plan this shit.
There's definitely a lot of fuckery, dude. And it's hard to figure out what's happening. That's
what you got to follow the money. If you want to know what's happening, just follow the money. And, like, I hate to be that guy, but all the people who, like, all the puppeteers are all on the same team when you follow the money. They're all like it's a war against this like group of people, this like selective group of people that you will, you know, you link up the group as you follow money. It becomes very, very distinct. They all parrot each other too. And then there are some of the contrarians who like take opposing sides. But if you follow money and connections, they're actually like very, very closely linked up. So when you look at it, from my perspective, it's like these people who have financial incentives because they're working as a collective. They have a lot of capital. They're moving markets around and they're doing things to push narratives and gain control in different places and reposition themselves for more shifting they're doing, more things that they got going on in the background, more things that they've planned. Like, as you look at all this stuff, like, most of this stuff goes back years and years. Like, this thing with Russia and Ukraine does, COVID did. Like, if, as you start to follow all these different big publicized events, like, all these things have so many links. Like, all, it's like the crazy, you know, the meme picture everybody uses, the dude in front of the board. Like, it's literally like that type of thing where when you start looking at everything, it's like all this stuff is really, really, really deeply connected. And most of it is like financial stuff and just like evil pieces of fucking shit. It's just a weird thing, like this like ring of people, you know.
Nation. The real war is between globalism and the media arms that control the whole narrative.
I feel like they're on the same side. That is the war. They're on the same side, and it's them versus us, you know. They want control of everybody. They want to harvest energy from everybody to like live this luxurious life. You know what I mean? Like, all these people have these crazy agendas and they're power hungry. Like, it's like just greed, and, you know, I mean, greed in multiple senses, like not just financial. Like, it's just greedy, greedy, greedy people who have no moral standards and who have are in a very strategic position.
This is why Bitcoin is so important, though, right? Like,
it really is.
All of this is funded by fiat, like the exactly. Mind control, the media, the propaganda, like the whole apparatus that like right now is working to fucking manipulate and enslave the world. It's all funded by fiat, and like if we can get them on an like if we can get the world operating on an honest money, you know, sound money standard, it changes everything. It takes the power to harness like human energy and yield it to your will, and which is what the central planners have been doing now for 100 years or 100+ years, and basically created the framework for this.
Bro, more than 100 years, easy.
Yeah, well, I guess what I'm saying is since the inception of the Federal Reserve, right? Whatever the saying is on the dollar, where it's like, you know, like the new world order is complete or something like that, something to that degree. Like, you know, they figured it out. Like, okay, now we can build out our control grid. We can build out the frameworks, and we'll do it slowly. And I think these people are like, you know, they have short time preference, right? Like, I forget what. Yeah, and so they operate in like decades and millennia. Like, these are like families that carry their bloodlines. Who knows? Maybe they
exactly.
even have
a... These are multi-generational things. They're cyclical.
Exactly. And so, like, if we're operating on short time preference... I mean, I can't even remember what it is. Sorry about that, guys.
I apologize.
It's low. Low time preference is the word you're looking for, bro.
Yeah, whatever. The point is that we operate and like on instant gratification, where they are thinking very long term, and Bitcoin at least gets us thinking in different ways, where we can at least now start to maneuver against this, right? And like start to plan for a different world, because before on like a fiat standard, everyone is just constantly on the hamster wheel, just struggling to make the ends meet for the next day. And so, you know, we actually now have a chance. And so we just need to capture that, and that this transition period from like a fiat standard to more of a sound money, you know, Bitcoin standard, it's going to be interesting how that plays out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of turmoil and a lot of craziness, and we're just going to have to navigate it.
This is our chance for a multi-generational counter on their multi-generational play. This is the right that everybody's gotten here.
Well, I think the 20% markup on Bitcoin shows that there's a huge demand as well, you know, and that there's enough people wanting to exit the system on this initial sort of crisis for them, right? And this is way bigger than the truckers. This is maybe 100-fold bigger, you know. Getting booted from Swift and being in a war is much different than cars parked and people celebrating in the streets.
regardless of what the prime minister says, right? And I think, like, when I say the war seems staged, I don't mean they're not blowing things up. Of course they're blowing things up. Think they paid for these weapons to not use them? Like, for fuck's sake, bro. No, when I say staged, I just mean, like, this was a planned war, and they knew what the outcome was going to be. You know, it's not that hard to understand on my
end. Using, like, 1970s tanks and shit. Like, none of the shit makes sense. If it was World War III, the sun would be out at 3 a.m. and then never again for 10 years. Like, it's...
It's World War meme. Come on, guys. No,
the World War III, like, fear porn hysteria cycle, you know, it's just such bullshit. Like, people act like, you know, when Trump got elected, they said that he's going to start World War III, you know.
Should I play devil's advocate here?
Hit.
We're at an interesting point, right? Because America is the financial superpower for the most part of the world, right? With the petrodollar being the reserve currency of most nations. We're in an interesting point if you look at debt cycles and the way that foreign ownership of debt has worked cyclically for nations. We're at a very, very interesting place where we could be very close to a transition out of the United States as a powerhouse, which is really, it's not something I like to think about, but it's something I force myself to think about a lot, because with it being the reserve currency, and despite all the US dollar and even greater so than that, but like the US being, whether it really is a free country or not, is a totally different debate. But it being this place where there's like this hub of freedom-minded people who really want to like fight for freedom, right? Again, we've got this, a lot of things are very different than how the ideology the country was started on. But this nation of like predominantly split now that has so many people who are so freedom-minded, I feel like if we lose that, there are only so many other places, not that America is the only one, right? But like, there are only so many other places in the world that are these like hubs for freedom-minded people, right? It's like, and Canada was an interesting, you know, what's happened in Canada, like personally, my take, and like, please don't let me, you know, I'm not trying to like play into the whole fear of everything that's going on, but like with where we're at with these cycles and with the way that money printing is increasing in the US, and if you just look at all these historical timelines, one of the most recent ones that you could compare America to and the US dollar is Germany. If you look at Germany's debt cycle and the way that they printed money and the timeline, like the amount of time and all the things that happened like along that timeline, and you compare the US and the same type of events and where they happened on the same type of timeline, and you look at where we are, and you look, it's just like we're at a very, we could really be at a tipping point, and I hope we're not, right? Like, it, and not in one sense I do, right? I hope we're on a tipping point in the sense that like peaceful transition, you know what I mean? Like a multi-generational peaceful transition where these people get moved out of power as a greater system takes its place. That's, you know, just built alongside it, like we've been talking about. But we could, like, cyclically, we're in a position where there should be a forceful transition happening relatively soon. So, you know, playing devil's advocate, like, you know, is an interesting counterpoint.
I think it's undeniable that we are at that transition point. But, Weinikis, I see your hand.
Yeah, I got a question for the audience. Clearly, when you interact with most people, they don't understand Bitcoin to the extent that you do. And I wanted to ask, do you think the powers that be, the elite, the they that we are talking about, understand Bitcoin the way that we do?
100% they do. 100% they do. This is all part of the greater plan, bro. Because they can't get away from it. So now they're like, well, we better like get us some Bitcoin to make sure the people we want to control don't have any Bitcoin. And that's the game now. And Bitcoin puts us on the same level as them. So this multi-generational like bleed of wealth is actually going to happen, but it's up to the plebs to like organize themselves and like build themselves up. This transition, I believe, is going to, we're going to see balkanization and pseudo anarchy. And if people don't organize appropriately, that will be co-opted by, oh, hey, the state comes in and saves you with more surveillance and, you know, more checkpoints. And we better take away all the guns because, hey, we just had a war. And like, see, there's all these things that they could do. But if people actually communicate and organize information in the proper ways, then we actually stand a chance in this kind of levelized playing field that's going to ensue, because nation states won't be service based anymore. They're going to off put that all to tech companies, and they're going to become basically like a post-state mafia. That's where everything's headed towards, I believe.
My only like counter to that is that, I mean, it's not even a $1 trillion asset. It's hit $1 trillion, but currently I don't think it's a $1 trillion asset. And the only nation states publicly that are announcing that they're buying is El Salvador and some other like companies. But overall, like, I don't think the price reflects these actors being involved yet.
The price doesn't really reflect it, but you can see their involvement. You don't need to see the price reflected because price is easily manipulated. You know what I mean? I mean, whether people want to admit it or not, price is easily manipulated, but there is a difference between price and the network. And that's the important distinction, of course, which a lot of people miss. They're like, oh, the whales and, you know, whatever. Who gives a shit? It's about,
plus,
you know,
90% of Bitcoin's been mined. So if they start to co-opt this and really do it, that's going to make the mining that they do in the future so much more profitable once it becomes that sort of embedded thing everywhere. They can't get away from it, right?
Let me play the devil's advocate here, if I may, once again. The worst thing that could happen, and the thing that worries me most, and the thing that I'm actively working against, I'm always encouraging people like, hey, you should make it your goal to be producing as many blocks as often as you can, right? Like, I'm always trying to get people into mining, et cetera, because what worries me most is, I think the way that it could potentially be co-opted the worst is, one, like, not complete centralization of mining, but the way that these people have stuck their hands into every government, right? Like the World Economic Forum. I'm sure everybody in here for the most part has seen the video of Klaus Schwab and seen how many people from the forum are in Canada's cabinet and all these other nations.
The penetration.
Stuff, right? It's like when you see that, how, like, we can get to what can, right? But like, what would prevent them, if nobody tried to stop them, right? What would prevent them from co-opting Bitcoin in the same way, where they just encircle the hash power with all these corrupt people, placing them in certain places, and then suddenly
it's up to the plebs to be organized to just fork if that happens, so that it's really almost irrelevant.
But how many people are we keeping on a level where they're technically savvy and they understand and they're paying attention to these things? And not only that, right? But do we want to do that? What I'm like I said, this is why I'm always proposing that people mine and that they try to produce blocks, not just mine to a pool, but really help decentralize the network. And I encourage everybody to get everybody they know into mining too. And not only that, but this goes back to what you're talking about with just separating from fiat. Everyone, if they're getting their Bitcoin from mining, we could really like propulse that forward. So that's part of it. It's a multifaceted thing that reasons that I push for it are many, but
they're already doing it. Like the ESG regulations, all of that stuff. Like, I don't I don't know how much this is the case, but like, I was very suspicious when China banned mining, and like, you know, now all of the mining is basically in Western, you know, Western countries. And it just like geographically, you know, centralizes mining to like the WEF's control. And, you know, they're already pushing ESG regulations and like mining is becoming corporatized. So in a lot of ways, you know, they don't need to like run their own miners. If the corporate miners are going to be willing to comply with whatever regulations are imposed on them, as well as the exchanges, you know, like if the majority of economic activity that runs on Bitcoin has to go through like WEF ESG regulations, then they've successfully co-opted it at that point. And that's one of my main concerns and one of the things I'm looking out for. And I agree with you that, you know, in order to counteract this, you need plebs mining. I think what's happening in El Salvador is big. I think that getting mining in as many countries that are not under the WF's control is like a big deal that we need to do. And that's why when I saw Samson Mao's tweet where he was saying, like, I'm going to focus on nation state adoption, I thought that was really great and one of these things that mitigates that risk. But I think it's a real concern right now. Like, we're in a window right now where, like, fiat still has, like, fiat still has legs. Like, they can still, like, control and manipulate a lot of the world. They can bribe miners, you know. There's a lot of things that they can do still because, you know, fiat still has some power to it. And I think that it's something that we're going to have to really watch out for.
Michael, what about the fact? Hold on, Mike, because we got a question for Michael, and then you can respond. We got a question from Mr. Robot 59. He goes, question for Michael, what's your thoughts on the play that Intel is trying to take over the mining rigs or whoever was talking about mining at home? I think it was Standing Tall or Standing Left here in Michael.
All right, so personally, I don't know. I saw the Intel video with the CEO talking. I don't know if it was the CEO or whoever it was, but he was very, like, he was definitely not forthright. It was a lot of, like, propaganda. It was just, he was basically putting forth the whole climate change narrative and why they're entering the space and they're creating the most efficient chip there is. And it just, you know, to me, it was already disingenuous from the start, so I wouldn't trust it, and I would assume that they have back doors and all types of, you know, I wouldn't trust it. So yeah, that's my take, but I'm not a technical person. I couldn't tell you, but just from a conceptual standpoint, like, I'm not buying it. I don't know, Standing Left here, you got something?
Well, I don't know about back doors. Like, to me, like, either they're hashing or they're not. If they're more efficient and more available, I think that's actually a good thing. If Intel
did
makes chips more
said?
Widely available, it only helps us.
Did you hear
what
you
said? Yeah. But I'm saying that, like, the more miners available, that it just helps that case. It helps plebs get into mining. It helps home mining become more, you know, widespread. I think that's a good thing.
See, and I would generally agree, but my main question would be, like, are we going to have the ability to have the most technically minded and technically savvy people in the community go through the programming of these things? Like, is this going to be an open source project? Does anybody know? Because if it's open source, that would allow us to make sure there are no backdoors. But if it's closed source, I'm going to be staying far, far away from it. Personally,
if they want to compete, it should be open source.
I would agree.
It doesn't matter either way. It shouldn't matter. You just flash a firmware. It doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, it's ASICs. ASICs are as simple as things get. They just do one single job. Literally, all they do is hash. So as long as, you know, you see that it's hashing, I don't see any kind of backdoor that can, you know,
ASICs can be infected, and here's an example of something. Like, one, like, people can, like, ASICs can be infected and you can have someone stealing your hash power, right? But what if there was potentially more to it? Like, for one, what if it was a switch where they're not just stealing it all the time? So then you get a large number of these distributed. This is pretty far out, right? But, like, I mean, who knows? So if we're really catastrophizing the situation here, like,
you don't think that
they run on half capacity, so they can just switch them on full whenever they want.
And then
I don't really think that
tons of hash power. That would be, you know, so, like, we definitely want to be able to go through this. It's an open source.
I mean, the chip itself is just doing a single job, and you can see, like, a command and control type of thing. Like, you can witness that on the network there. So you can see that it's, like, sending out information to somewhere that you didn't approve of, so to speak.
Of course.
I don't really have a problem with the ASICs. I don't see many, like, attack vectors for them. Like, they can, you know, they can do, like, what NVIDIA does, which is, like, locks a feature of their chip, like, ahead of time. But that's, you know, the firmware's on there. As far as them, like, you know, pretty much, because from what I've read on their stuff, even their controller for the ASICs is like an FPGA, so it's field programmable. Someone can, you know, program something else into it to do a different kind of job. which is pretty cool. But yeah, like they're, you know, they're producing chips at the end of the day. Like people can take this and like put a different firmware to it if they like reverse engineer it.
Probably at some point it'll all be integrated. Like I just think that the more chips, the better.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement with that. I'm looking forward to seeing what they produce.
Yeah, I mean,
it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Tucson, I'd love your input. Oh, Shishi, did you jump in?
I just think like if they can hit their efficiency metrics like that they're claiming, so that's going to force decentralization. Every time we have to upgrade our machines, like our hashing machines, you know, that's just going to force decentralization. Like you said, people are going to see that as an opportunity to mine at their homes all of a sudden, or maybe before it wasn't as efficient, so it wasn't as attractive. But I also think like sometimes we're really like focused on black swans instead of like, you know, Intel is incentivized to be honest because you know what? They don't want you figuring out that they fucked with you and then they have all this inventory that they're sitting on. And remember, they're at a scale where sitting on that amount of inventory really hurts their margin, which then hurts their stock price, which then hurts, you know, the domino effect's real. So, you know, Bitcoin really incentivizes a certain behavior. So I would be shocked if they just went completely off the rails because things are pretty transparent with ASICs. It's not, you know, you at the end of the day, you've been buying ASICs without verifying them for quite some time from Bitmain and, you know, a bunch of Chinese manufacturers, Canaan or whatever, and InnoSilicon, you know, the list goes on. And, you know, making miners is actually pretty interesting and hard, you know. Even Zach Herbert tried to make some sort of, you know, miner before he did Foundation Devices. So, you know.
Hey, so got a quick question. So then ASICs, so they're pretty straightforward and there's not a lot of attack vectors and it basically does what it does. And so there's not much reason to not trust Intel. Is that basically what I'm getting?
Yeah, because they have to pay for inventory. That's and that amount of silicon and that amount of R&D is like why would, like there's an incentive for them to make profit. And like there's not even a way to really regulate that sale, right? Because it's just a chip. So end of the day, man, like that's like the most lucrative business in Bitcoin, making miners. And then like, man, if you have an opportunity to fucking buy them, like what's the real risk, right? You're going to buy a miner. It's going to be way more efficient or it's not. And you're going to find out real quick, you know? So you can either be the first person or the 10th person. Doesn't matter. You know, the first person is just like giving us information, right? So you can just wait and see, but I doubt it. I just, it would be shocking to me. Right. And no, and none of us would buy it. And like miners would reject it. Why wouldn't they just buy miners from a different manufacturer? Right. The competition is king.
Yeah. I think this is super exciting what's happening with Intel getting in because the guys over at Bitmain are complete idiots and make just really mediocre machines. Like there's just no market competition in the ASIC market whatsoever, and if anything, like it's gonna force Bitmain to not suck so much. Like for example, the heat sinks on the S19s fucking suck. They're not even thermally conductive. They're not effective, and they're just not running efficiently. If you open up a power supply, it's just plugged full of glue, and there's just a major efficiency loss. And the only reason is because they're just, you know, want to save a couple bucks and do not have to compete with anybody because they essentially have the market cornered. And yeah, I mean, I agree with Shishi on a lot of this. Like if they backdoor an ASIC, it's not that hard for somebody to come up and create some generic control board that you can put on and replace it and, you know, run firmware of some sort. And there's going to be a huge market for it, but pretty much everybody in the ASIC market right now is complete amateurs. And as, you know, more money comes in and there's actually demand. I mean, you have to look at the ASIC market compared to other computer markets. It's absolutely tiny, but it's growing pretty quick. And as it gets bigger, you know, people that actually know what they're doing are going to come in and there's going to be a lot of interesting options and aftermarket options. Like the stuff that Alpha Miner's doing with aftermarket PSUs is pretty interesting. I think that's going to be, you know, a huge market for stuff like that.
Hey, can I ask you? All
yeah, right, so listen, that's called motherfucking bugs.
So, I saw the Intel video where they announced their ASIC. Like, why do you think they would use that? Was that just basic? Like, why would you think they use that narrative? Is it just marketing?
Yeah, I mean, ESG is a corporate social credit score, and they've infiltrated all of these companies. And I think they're just going to get completely wrecked by Bitcoin, kind of like Marathon did. And the more we can drive this narrative that that's total nonsense, people realize it, you know, that this
they're just saying what sounds good for their corporate press, but really in the back rooms they're like, holy fuck, we're gonna sell a lot of Bitcoin miners, Royce. Holy shit, we're gonna sell a lot of Bitcoin miners. Like, their bottom line matters.
Yeah, well, you know, there's entire funds that will not invest in you if you have a certain ESG like red flag or whatever. So if you can frame it for yourself, you know, it's all stock price game, right? Like, the executive decision to like do anything in Intel is tied to their stock option, you know? So it's not so hard to see, you know, down the road.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say what I'm thinking right now. I don't think it's that independent as you guys are making it out to be, but I don't necessarily think you guys are wrong either. But I could see a possible scenario where, like, even though they're not economically incentivized, they're subsidized by back channels in order to carry out certain agendas, if you know what I mean. But I'm cynical as hell. Like,
Intel couldn't see AMD coming, dude. Like, I don't know, man. Like, if you, I don't know. It's just tough for me to admit that Intel actually, like I think putting together a really like power efficient ASIC, like maybe that's like their best use case, and like the rest of their business is just gonna die down over time, because like end of the day, like Apple making their own chip is a sign of the times. Nvidia coming up across the board is a sign of the times. Like, you know, some of these companies are highly capitalized, you know, and they're moving into many computing markets. I mean, I don't know, man. I really can't see Nvidia. Like, why isn't Nvidia gonna make an ASIC? Of course they will, you know. Of course they would. It doesn't make any sense to not get in the game. There's too much money to be made. So if anyone fucks up, they're just going to lose market share. Like, fuck you, you know? That's basically what it is. It's fuck you,
yeah.
Money. You know?
Yeah, I jump in on what Shishi's saying. I think the trade-off for any computer company right now to not make ASICs is too high, and they're realizing this shit. Like, their profit margins aren't good right now on the fiat standard, and everyone's losing fucking money. They all have to, like, every company has to become a basically gambling operation to continue afloat. And so I think people are starting to wake it up. So to roll it back to what Weineke's original question was, is do you think politicians understand Bitcoin? I would say the majority, no, but we do have some people that are waking up to it. And we do have like Brad Sherman, who's probably the most bullish Bitcoiner I know. And he's extremely bear. He's so bullish. He's terrified and bearish about it. Like, that's how bullish he is. And he's a congressman. Like, he's the absolute most bullish person I have ever met, because he's just that terrified where he thinks he needs to shut down Bitcoin right now. Like, that's some bullish energy, guys. Like, you don't understand the power of that bullish energy. He's that terrified. So some politicians definitely do understand what is going on right now. And with that, the extension, companies out there are understanding what the fuck's going on. Like, if you're a computer company right now, in my opinion, I think the trade-off to not make ASICs is like, what the fuck are you doing? You can make so much money right now. Like Shishi said, all the money is in mining. Like, if you can make better ASICs, like, you're going to be fucking rolling in the sats. So competition is going to breed better ASICs. You know, the customer always wins when companies are able to freely compete. So I'm excited to see all this happening. And Tucson, you know, he's closer to mining than I am. So what he was saying, I'm like, yo, let's fucking go. Like, this is extremely bullish. And yeah, there is, you know, that the paranoia that we can't trust corporations, but corporations are led by incentives. And we all understand as Bitcoiners that the fiat incentives are broken. That's why corporations have been so fucking shitty in the past. But like Shishi just said, you know, these times remind me of the great Carlos Matos. And, you know, the world is no longer like it once was. So companies are opening up, or like realizing this, and they have to fucking compete. Like, you can't be a zombie corporation anymore. You can't just sit on your ass, and you can't just take government handouts. Like, Bitcoin is making companies compete. And like Tucson said, you know, half-ass ASIC producers are racking in the sats right now. So if real fucking players come in and are serious about this, and they realize the trade-off that, like, yo, Bitcoin is going to take over the world. Bitcoin is eating all the energy in the world, and the energy, you know, buyer of last resort is Bitcoin miners. So, like, you got to understand that we're plugging into the fucking the world. Like, the universe is just energy. You can fucking, if you get become the middleman, you tap that, like, dude, these greedy capitalists out there, they understand what's going on, dude. They realize they're losing money by not getting into this game. So, yes, I do harness my own paranoia. I'm one of the most paranoid people out here. I don't trust any government official. I don't trust very many corporations. But I understand that they like profits. And if they are smart and they're actually not just, you know, floating on their laurels with their heads up their ass, they have to look out and understand that, look, Bitcoin is eating the world. It is tiny and it is basically, you know, under most people's radars, but you can't deny what Bitcoin, what it's done and what it's going to do. So I think this is the best time to be a fucking Bitcoiner, and anyone that's, you know, stacking right now is in the best place to be. So, you know, Kiss your own ass and thank your lucky stars that you made it right before Bitcoin is hitting the world stage, because we're seeing this now. And, you know, just to make the whole conversation whole, I think a point that we've been talking about this whole time is just like the old saying, like, you never let a good crisis go uncapitalized. And we're seeing that now, whether it's on the positive of people waking up to the power of Bitcoin with Canada or you know, Russian citizens getting pushed off the Swiss system and they can't get into their banks. So, like, people are seeing the use of Bitcoin. So anyone that is still with their head up their ass and telling you Bitcoin has no use case, Bitcoin is this, Bitcoin is that, it's like, guys, they obviously don't know what's going on, because Bitcoin is at the world stage right now. And if you don't have a Bitcoin plan, like, your opinion really doesn't matter, in my opinion. And then on the flip side, like we've been saying the whole night, that they're memeing you to death, guys. Like, they have all the power and all the bucks to meme you. So you guys got to harness your mind and understand that you're getting memed. And right now, they're starting to paint us all as bad, that Bitcoin is bad, Bitcoiners are bad, that we're either white supremacists or we're, you know, we're pro-Russian sympathizers, or Jay Powell just came out this morning on Zero Hedge saying that war underscores the need for action on digital currency. So, guys, the memetics is going into overdrive. They are going to come after us. We've been saying this for a long time. Like, if you're not ready for this, then you need to, you know, harness your own mind. Like, I did the Blade meme earlier today. I hope everyone knows what the Blade meme is. It's like, maybe Winikus, you can load it up in the chat, but like, the world is on edge and they're going to come for you right now. And you've been practicing and harnessing your inner strength. So guys, like, we've been saying this for a long, long time. If you guys follow me, I say this all the time, and we all talk about this during the bear market. It's like, you got to steel yourself, you know, pleb sharpens pleb. And right now is the time that if you haven't been putting in the work, you have to put in a little work right now and get your ducks in a row and everything in order, because shit is about to hit the fan. We are in the middle of a war. There is a information war going on your mind. We are in World War meme right now. Like, and the battlefield is your mind. They want to make you feel like you don't know what the hell is going on. And obviously we don't know. So their memetics is winning at this point, but we can punch through this with the signal and like the uplifting of morale, because that's really what we are out here, guys. We're fucking soldiers, and
literally spaces soldiers, bro. We're out here orange pilling for fucking Jesus.
What was that?
I just said we're out here orange pilling for Jesus. We're the spaces soldiers.
Exactly. Like, I know it's a bit hyperbolic since we are actually having soldiers out there dying, but guys, everyone does their part, and you know, we are out here orange pilling and chilling people with the sound money gospel. So just like, keep morale up, guys. Keep shit posting. Do what Winikus does. Don't care at all. Sit on a hammock. Like, now's a good time, guys, where maybe, you know, detox a little from your Bitcoin stuff. Like, You know, take a walk without the podcast. Like, clear your mind and come back hard because shit's about to go heavy. We're fucking pumping, guys. Like, you know,
Yo, tell me how you really feel, Optimus. Dude, tell me how you really feel.
You already know, bro. Dude, you think I send you Bitcoin stuff? I talk about that weed we're smoking, bro. Come on.
Yo,
don't dox me.
I just took a fat rip.
This ASIC chip, right, from Intel, 1,000 times, is it? It says it's 1,000 times more efficient. Do y'all know the details on this?
I don't know the full details, but I saw
they said 1,000 times more than GPU mining.
I don't sneak fiat anymore, so I can't even look at any of this shit. It's just that when it drops, I kind of just wait for it to come up on my feed, and then I'm like, all right, like, this is what it is, you know?
1,000 times, S19's going to get real cheap.
No, so I heard it on Simply Bitcoin today, and the Bitmain S19J, like the latest one, I think it has a hashing of like 143 or something of the sort, and the Intel, they're making two, I believe, but the better version, if they actually hit their specs, it will hit about 135 hashes. So if they are actually going to come out with like, you know, their first badass ASIC and it does those numbers, like, that's fucking incredible and super competitive. So I am happy or willing to see what they're going to do on their next shit once they actually figure this shit out. So, like, mining competition, I think it's gonna improve once these big guys come in. So if you think mining is competitive now, I think it's going to fucking go Hiroshima on us. So yeah, you know, if you can secure some ASICs now and get yourself something going as a pleb now, you know, you may build something. What's good,
Moses? How can I'm about to jump on this. Isn't there a way I could produce energy from, like, wood, you said, or something like that?
Yeah, everybody should be looking into gasification. Anyone with mechanical skills or welding skills can build these things. All you need is, like, a combustion engine and literally just some steel parts and some welding skills and some know-how. And you essentially burn wood or any biomass, but wood works really great at low oxygen. And then you get syngas from that. You filter it, and you literally just run your engine right on it. And then you can there's videos. If you just go down my timeline on my page, I posted some earlier today, a thread of videos. And you can, like, there's tons of information on the internet for this stuff. And that's energy everywhere, man, everywhere. It's the easiest form, biomass. You can take food waste, and you can throw it in a freaking pool, run that through a barrel in a like make the water go through a vortex in a barrel, and then you have like a big swimming pool of river water. Essentially, it's going to collect nitrogen in the center of that. You can dilute that 1 to 1,000 times with water and grow like a zola or duckweed in greenhouses if you live in a northern climate. And that shit doubles its biomass every 2 days. So every 2 days you harvest it and you dry it and then you burn it. And if you pelletize it, I think it works out better for efficiencies. But it literally is just, instead of storing methane or something like that, you're just storing biomass, so wood, anything. And you burn it, creates energy, and a lot of it. You can get like 45 kilowatts out of like a Ford 300 engine.
All right, let's start harnessing that energy then, I guess. Like, figure out ways to fucking mine this Bitcoin.
Interesting. Okay. Linicus, give me some transition music.
Are we transitioning or are we going to full on crackhead mode?
Well, I have one last point, one last thing that I noticed this week, and then we can end this one or we could do some degenerate things, hood rat things with my friends.
All right, hold on. Let me transition us then.
You see that production, guys? Oh my god, I'm dead. Okay, guys, so one thing I noticed this week, I did a poll. Winikus has been hipping me to the polls, and I've become a fan of the polls. So I did a poll this week, and this one was I should be more prepared. I'm trying to get it up right now, guys. the poll was, is Bitcoin price signal or noise? Because I've noticed a lot of people talking this last week since the last episode. A lot of people, here, actually, let me just load it up real quick, and I'll give you some of these responses that people are giving me. And I heard a lot of people talking about this, and I want to bring it up. This is Bitcoin Kindergarten, so I think this is a point that we can, you know, drill into people's heads. And let me load up these stats real quick. And I notice that, in my opinion, I don't agree with these scores. The market is wrong, and the response on these polls, in my opinion, we got a lot of people out there that need to go back to some basics, back to basics Austrian economics, and go do some studying, because these results on the poll are a tad bit worrying, guys. You guys haven't done the homework, and it shows. So the tweet was, is Bitcoin price signal or noise? And I voted it is signal, as in my opinion, most should. Everyone should have voted it is signal. And we have 639 votes here, and 43% believe that the Bitcoin price is signal, 57% believe the price is noise. So let me go into some of these responses, and then maybe I can drill some points home, and you guys can go do some homework, because I think people need to understand this, and it shows that it's not statistically significant yet, but it shows that people do have a misunderstanding. So let me show some comments that were, you know, a little, I guess, wrong, but they were close, you know. So here's some comments that I did like. One person, this is Decent Money. At Decent Money 2009, he goes, signal over the long term, roughly 4+ years. Noise over the short term, less than 4 years. That got a like. There's some nuance there, so definitely like that. This guy, Cameron at Blev Cam, goes, noise, it does no more good than measuring a board with a tape measure with its numbers constantly moving. That's, you know, artistic take, yet still wrong. But I liked it. Guy Swan goes, depends entirely on your time frame. Again, that nuanced take. He'd agree with me. And then this one's pretty nuanced, but still in technicalities wrong, but still right, I guess. At BTC_arrow goes, spike price is not signal, but price trend is. So, and then this is a good one. Proud Bitcoin pleb, at it's time for Bitcoin. He goes, up it's signal, down it's noise. So, as you can tell, I believe it's signal, and I will read some good comments that, in my opinion, are correct. And then I'll leave you with some homework, and then we can, you know, give them the comedy. So this, in my opinion, is as eloquent as you can get in a Bitcoin tweet. And this is by Nuts von Holm, author, pleb. He puts out really good content. His response goes, a price is nothing but a signal. It is the signal the market produces regardless of how manipulated that market is. Prices are the best representations of people's wants, needs, and abilities there are. Bitcoin will, over time, make these signals sincerer and less distorted. So that, in my opinion, is the correct praxeology. And so here's another take on the same thing. A price is pure signal output. Doesn't mean that input FUD or fiat-induced inflation can be noise. And then our boy Bitcoin, or BitClat, only thing that matters, followed up by all you Bitcoin, literally. So I just recommend, guys, go watch iPencil on YouTube, or go read iPencil, or go listen to iPencil, and you'll start to understand what we mean when we tell you that the Bitcoin price is signal. And it explains what the free market thinks of Bitcoin in real time. I like to think of the Bitcoin price as a real time finger on the pulse of the world's understanding of Bitcoin. And I know that the price is manipulated, and you know, it is what it is. They could only push the price down for so long until it explodes, but it's still, you can think of it as the world's fundamental understanding of what they're holding. So, you know, the price goes down, in my opinion, it just shows that people don't really understand Bitcoin, and it's on sale for us that do. So, in my opinion, we got some cheap sats out there, boys, and we better be stacking. And ladies, we are not a sexist podcast. Weinikus, I don't know. Anyone want to chime in on it's the signal, or you can just get highly regarded. Your choice.
I was orange pilling a couple this weekend, and they were asking me about price like always, and I said the price doesn't matter because it's just going to go up forever. And then they responded saying, why are you so arrogant about this? So I'm in the camp that Bitcoin price is purely noise, because the signal is already there if you know how it works. Like, you don't have
to
look
at it. Did you finish it off with Laura at the end?
No, I can't Laura pill them yet.
All right, base take, Weinikus. Sorry, I'm over here fighting with Zorn. He's talking shit in the YouTube chat. Fucking wrecked in the chat.
Price is for noob and chart boys.
Yeah, Shishi. Since we got a few minutes, how about some Shishi paid group tea leaf reading?
Yeah, when and pod.
Dude, you guys are so bearish on here for so long, and I kept telling you guys, and then you guys are like, oh, you saw this war, you had Magoo Allen before, like, I don't know what to tell you, man. You guys are just so fucking bearish.
There was a solid 3 months where it was okay to be a gay bear, bro. It was in fashion.
Dude, it was so in fashion, and it was disgusting. It was really, I was repulsed. I orange pilled the fewest people. Just people were like, yo, like, what's going on with your energy, man? I'm like, dude, shit's fucking, I don't even know, man. It must be the moon or some shit, I don't know. But these motherfuckers on the internet are tripping. But yeah, 44K back, you know, that huge candle. I called it Putin's middle finger, and I think it just, you know, just goes to show you, man, you should, the bears are always wrecked, man. That's my TA. Like, if you listen to a bear, just know that he's assaulting you, and that it's definitely something that he should, like, you should cancel out of your life. Like, you just got to keep it optimistic, man. Like, I'm honestly thinking that I'm going to buy myself like a few hammocks and just put them around my house, because Weinikus, I'm just like, he's always in the hammock, and it doesn't make any sense to me why I'm not.
Bro, I have a hammock in my living room. It's definitely not an outdoor furniture. It's indoor furniture for sure.
Shishi, let me just ask you a question. Are you vigilantly looking at the prices, searching for the micro penis of death?
Dude, it usually comes to me. Like, I don't usually search for it. It's one of those wax on, wax off moments for you, man. Like, you know, you can't be chasing anything. Anything you chase, you never get. And so far, I've gotten everything I wanted in this price action. You know what I mean?
Shishi, win 10K candle.
Yo, I just gave you one and you're looking for another one, you fucking addict. Go fucking take a walk. No pods on.
Dude,
take a walk and leave the phone at home.
Wrecked.
Are we going to have to get in Dejan Lesmil to make some more fake news articles to pump us with a 10K candle?
Yo, honestly, I'm telling you, man, like, when I saw the 200-week moving average and I'm just like, wow, like, it just got over 20K, I'm like, we're like super disrespectful to like that, the price of Bitcoin and like how high it is. you know? Like, we're like, oh, it's not a $1 trillion asset, though. Like, dude, honestly, man, like, the fact that we're even talking like that is, man, 2017 is only 4 or 5 years ago, you know? Like, my, how things have changed, you know? Like, what year did Apple become a $1 trillion corporation, you know? And that's, like, on a fiat standard. Like, the fact that we're over 500 bill right now with, like, dude, no marketing department and just, like, all people, like, philosophizing around some invention, you know? And it's just fucking cool. Right.
The same thing. You ain't got the answers.
Bro, this is a discovery.
You ain't been doing an education.
Yes. Bro,
You ain't been doing an education. Calm down. You don't have the answer.
Think about how far things have come in such a short amount of time with Bitcoin. Like, we were talking about ASICs earlier, like, I mean, think just like compare that to when people first started mining Bitcoin, you know, like it's, I mean, the expansion, the adoption of the network, like price aside.
Like, yeah, Intel hasn't been into signals. Mining Bitcoin for a few years now. They're just getting back into the market.
Say that one more time.
Intel hasn't mined. People have been mining Bitcoin on Intel for a few years now. They're just getting back into the market.
Exactly.
I mean, that would be amazing. Like, if they were just like, look, we're not even going to sell any, we're just going to hash. Like, that would actually be like some crazy game, like theoretics that they're playing out in their own minds, you know? Or if they sell only like a fraction, like you don't even know how many they have per se, you know? It just, it's pretty interesting, you know? I wonder how AMD is going to take it, you know? They're usually pretty secretive about what they do.
I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch. I'm interested in seeing these next couple of months. I think this year is going to be so fucking bullish. Honestly, Shishi's right. I've been a gay bear. I admit my name is Optimus Fields, and I've been a gay bear the last 3 months. Tomato, tomato, tomato. I apologize to my loyal cult following and my Bitcoin kindergarten OG cult members out there. I will drink the Kool-Aid first. I am sorry. I will do 21 lashes, and I will donate $850 to that one girl's female inclusive progressive course. I'll give it to some lady as a donation. What else can I do? I'll donate to the Ukrainian address. I'll buy a tank from Russia. What else can I do for the cause? I don't know. Give me ideas. I need to repent. I need to repent, guys.
The Weinikiss theme song.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll start Weinikiss's social busking experiment for $1 billion sats. I don't know what my donation will be, but it'll be bigger than yours because Weinikiss is my boy, and he's about to get $1 billion sats from you guys.
It's a circular economy.
Yeah, to my cold storage.
Nah, but bro, seriously, start a hammock brand, man. I'm telling you, man, for Bitcoin. Like, seriously.
Hammock for Bitcoin, coming soon.
Bitcoin hammocks, yeah, that would definitely pop.
Hammocks and hash rate, that's all you need.
Yo, come up with a clever-ass name for that shit. Like, you know, don't just do something, sit there, Bitcoin.
SatoshiSlacken.com, Bitcoin, or hammocks for Bitcoin, let's go.
Yo, honestly, if you don't do that, man, like, such a missed opportunity to have this fucking, dude, I don't know, man. Do you know anyone who's selling hammocks for Bitcoin?
Weinikiss can't even get our kindergarten merch together. You think he's going to get fucking a hammocks for sale? Fucking wrecked.
You guys keep doubting me. The merch is about to be super fire.
No, guys, honestly, you guys are going to lose your shit.
Yo, Wine does quality merch, though. Can confirm, though.
If you got to see the Bitcoin kindergarten DMs, then you would see the fire that's being cooked right now.
Damn, dude, are you sharing that out? You're sharing the heat and you're telling me not to share it? Oh my God, look at this guy.
I'm not sharing it.
Rules for thee, but not for me? Holy shit, I get no respect around here.
This round of merch will get some good stuff out, and then the next batch, it could be a hammock. You never know.
Whoa, dude. Bitcoin kindergarten certified hammocks? Holy shit.
They're being ready for the hammock. They're buying like houses in their head when Bitcoin hits 100K.
Yeah, you guys can buy shares in a hammock, and we will give you proof on the blockchain via NFT, and all profits will go to us via some weird smart contract backdoor that you are not aware of. This is not a PSA warning. This is not legal way for me to scam you because I tell you up front. But we will find you a way, as Mr. Robot 59 says, to create for you options to sun your balls on a hammock. So soon, coming soon. Guys, we're coming close to 2 hours. So we're at about an hour and 40. I will be chilling in the spaces, but I think this is a good place to wrap it up. And before we go, I did this tweet last week from last show to this show. And I think it wraps up everything we've been talking about. And I'm just going to leave you on this. And we will see you next week, guys. So as the tweet goes, I tweeted this February 25. Your mission based anon is to survive the great PSYOP. You have no choice but to accept this mission. Either live like a worm or fight. Fight by opting out of their money and holding Bitcoin with savage means, with living a life that makes your enemies cry harder. Base BD. All right, boys. Uh-oh, we got Nico. Nico, can we get a base rant before we go? I was just about to wrap up, but base Nico Jones rat? Few? Nico, I was just about to wrap this up, but you got some words for wisdom for the people. He's eating. All right,
he's eating. Back that hour.
All right, bet. He's eating hot dogs waiting for me. No, he's eating donuts waiting for me to end the post. All right, boys. Well, thank you everyone for showing up in spaces. Thank you everyone in the YouTube chat. Go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Help us get past the barrier so we can make our stream better. Guys, we love you. We will be here next Wednesday. We do this for the culture. Tell us some...